Hello and welcome to our site. We return to our series, Back to the Bible. If you have a Bible with you, then please turn with me to the Psalms. This morning, in our Back to the Bible series, we have come to the Book of Psalms, probably the best-loved, most-read part of the Bible, right in the middle of the Bible. Would you turn now, please, to Psalm 148 and Psalm 149, as we read those together before we get into our sermon. Psalm 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all you heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above all the earth and above the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his saints. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit saw to it that right in the middle of your Bible there is a salty psalter, the Book of Psalms, sometimes referred to as the Psalter. 150 psalms that are there to help you to worship God. A collection of Hebrew poems, God's songbook for the Jews, but also for his people from every tribe and tongue. The Psalms contain the natural expressions of a number of authors, written under the whole variety of circumstances. Wherever we go through, whatever we go through in life, from anthems of prosperity to dirges of adversity, you'll find it here in the Psalms. From unbridled praise, as we read in Psalms 148 and 149, to heart-rending pain in some of the Psalms. One goes from the majesty and the holiness of God to the lament of one in deep distress. And that all makes the Psalms the best-loved and most-read section of the Bible, a worship manual for every generation of worshippers. As you well know, I'm sure, many of the hymns we sing in the Christian church are based on the Psalms. The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne. O worship the King. Many others, inspired by the psalmist, great hymn writers like Isaac Watts, F.W. Faber, Horatius Bonar, Charles Wesley, and a host of others spent hours and hours in the Psalms. The supreme message of the Psalms is worship God. And they help us to do this by using his names, Yahweh, Elohim, and Adonai. They never argue or debate God's essential being. The Psalms take that for granted. God is revealed as the only true and living God, the creator of all, sustainer of all powerful, all knowing, ever present, unrivaled in his sovereignty, holiness, and purity. When you understand God as the psalmist does, you are compelled to worship. To deny him is utter foolishness, for he speaks, he has control of all nature, he is revealed in all that he has created, and he feeds and leads his people like a shepherd. We exist to ascribe to him the glory that is due to his name. He is our rock, our fortress, our stronghold in the day of trouble, the God who saves. The Psalms then acclaim his greatness, they celebrate his sufficiency, and they declare his unfailing love and goodness. It stands to reason then that these Hebrew songs not only compel us to worship, but teach us how to worship. We are to worship with clean hands and a pure heart, free of deceit, hypocrisy, and pride. We are to worship in the beauty of holiness and with the attitude of submission, trust, and joy. And the psalmist shows us that submission to God will produce reverence and obedience. J.S. B. Mansell captures that so well in his hymn, "O Worship the Lord in the Beauty of Holiness." Bow down before him, his glory proclaim, with gold of obedience, with gold of obedience, and incense of lowliness, kneel and adore him. The Lord is his name. The best worship comes from a penitent and broken heart. The sweetest music often comes from the psalmist's pain. Why, it's then that we sing songs that angels cannot sing, for they have never known our pain, our sorrow, our loss. The thing to remember is that all the psalms come out of an encounter with God, and that's what makes them so special. The psalmists are worshippers, and their worship is a response to divine revelation. That's why our best worship, our most fitting and meaningful worship, should probably follow the sermon, not precede it. That's how it works in the Bible. The first activity of worship is always that of God's self-revelation. Then follows the worship activity of man. It was so with Isaiah the prophet and Ezekiel the prophet. It was so with the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, where he was banished because of his faith in the Lord Jesus. When he saw the Lord, he fell at his feet as though dead. These days, worship is often seen as something you work up. In the Bible, it's the unstoppable response to divine revelation. It's the place where we lay our souls bare before God, receive the grace he so freely offers, and respond in adoration and praise with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The final activity in worship is that of God himself, who not only receives the offering of our worship, but becomes to us everything we need, delights in us, sings over us, draws us into his presence, touches us in the depth of our being. The Hebrew word to bless is reflexive, it rebounds on us. As we bless God, he blesses us. Well, this is the salty message of the Psalter, the Book of Psalms. Its message is loud and clear. Make every circumstance of your life an opportunity to worship. Are you in sorrow? Then worship. Are you in joy? Worship. Are you in darkness? Worship God. Are you walking in the light? Worship. That's what we were made for. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Now, poetry has a way of penetrating the heart, the mind, the will, the soul, like nothing else. I think it's a tragedy that there is almost no demand whatsoever for poetry anymore. In this self-centered, rushed, and conflicted world in which we live, there's a beauty, a wonder, a rhythm that only poetry can fully mine and express. And the Psalms employ a whole range of literary techniques, mostly based on a form of repetition called parallelism. The concept is repeated like in, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. Do you see it? Anger and wrath, faint and agony. Sometimes synonymous, as in Psalm 2, synonymous parallelism, we call it. Nations conspire, peoples plot. Kings take their stand, rulers gather together. Let us break their chains, they say. Throw off their fetters, they say. Beautiful parallelism, taking you into the depths of what is being said. Sometimes antithetic, like those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Isn't that magnificent? Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. Sometimes synthetic, like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, how do you stop when you get into this? The psalmist takes you through every human emotion, every condition of the soul before God. Psalm 119, the longest of the psalms, is based on the Hebrew alphabet. It's an acrostic with 176 verses, each section beginning with the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's magnificent. The poetry of the Psalms touches the heart of God as well as the heart of man. That's why the Holy Spirit has inspired this Hebrew poetry in the middle of our Bible. It's so beautiful, so meaningful, so deep. The Psalms give us a model of how to address God as individuals and as congregations, with reverential awe, with intimacy, and yet never over-familiarity. He is Yahweh, not our buddy. He is both transcendent and immanent. The Psalms are designed to be read aloud or sung, accompanied by instruments. They show us that worship can involve shouting to the Lord with a voice of triumph, and also at times being silent before him and simply listening in reverential awe. As David Pawson points out, some of the Psalms say please, some of them say thank you, and some say sorry. Martin Luther called them the Bible within the Bible. They cover creation and the history of Israel. There are actually five books grouped together as one. David wrote over half of them. The sons of Korah, 10. The sons of Asaph, 12. Solomon wrote 2, at least. A few we're not sure of, but they're all inspired by the same author, the Holy Spirit of God. To the Psalms we can apply in a very powerful, meaningful way the statement of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproving, training us in righteousness, in right living, so that we can be mature and complete, so that we're not lacking in anything. The Psalms can be grouped into different categories. There are Psalms of lament, for example. There are Psalms of gratitude and praise. There are Psalms of penitence. There are kingly Psalms, royal Psalms, we call them. There are messianic Psalms that are prophetic and point forward to the Lord Jesus, like Psalm 22, from which Jesus quoted when he died on the cross, though it was written 1,000 years before Calvary, the death of Jesus. There are wisdom psalms, and there are imprecatory psalms. Those are psalms where God is called on to defeat the enemy. What a magnificent array of subjects, of circumstances, of moods, of feelings, of rejoicing and of sorrowing. All the human emotions are mentioned here in the Psalms. A few years ago, I put 55 of them into rhyme to try and convey their message for today in a very free, rhythmic paraphrase in English to make them perhaps a little more easy to understand, but to get the message of each psalm across in a contemporary way in a rhythmic paraphrase. So may I share with you just three of these. Psalm 1, if you'd like to turn to Psalm 1, I'd like to read that to you so that you can see the first psalm in the Psalter. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. That's an English translation, of course, of the original Hebrew of Psalm 1. So here is an English paraphrase in something of a more contemporary style. In the journey of life you're called to take, there are vital choices you will have to make. A myriad of voices will clamor for attention. Ideologies and philosophies too numerous to mention. Religions, politics, and a host of isms too. Materialism, humanism, secularism, and relativism, just to name a few. A variety of evils will confront you all your days, a fallen world's temptations in a thousand subtle ways. To choose the way of blessing and to walk with God therein, you must not heed the counsel of those who walk in sin. Keep your distance from the wicked and reject their empty lies. You can see their godless values and their lifestyle is unwise. The wicked live in selfishness and superficial pleasure. Against the living word of God, their worldview you must measure. If you walk in the company of evil men, you'll be tempted there to stand. But spending time with those depraved will play into their hand. Next thing you'll be seated with those who mock the Lord, who brazenly poke fun at both his servants and his word. The God-blessed man will thus not walk or stand or take his seat with those whose godless way of life would spell the saint's defeat. The man who lives in blessing is in God's word finds great delight. In that treasured holy truth he meditates day and night. His life is like a tree with a stream of water at its root. Every season of his life he bears abundant fruit. His state of well-being is not diminished by the passing years. God prospers him in every way and drives away his fears. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind just blows away. They will not stand among the blessed in that final judgment day. They will give account of every evil thought and word and deed. They will reap the deadly harvest of every godless seed. They will stand condemned before the one they freely chose to spurn, and like the chaff upon the flame, they will perish in their turn. The righteous man who loves the Lord walks gladly in his way. He'll stand before the one he loved on that great judgment day. The righteous judge of heaven and earth is the one that he adored, and now forever he'll enjoy the presence of his Lord. What about Psalm 8? A beautiful psalm. If you turn to Psalm 8, let's read that psalm together, and then let me share with you a paraphrase of that psalm in rhyme. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth! You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, that to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a beautiful psalm. Here's a paraphrase in rhyme of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens, O God of matchless worth. From the lips of babes and children, you ordained pure praise to silence the enemy and the avenger, to thwart their evil ways. When I consider your heavens, every galaxy in its place, I marvel that you care for man and bestow on him your grace. Yet you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings above. He is crowned with glory and honor because of your great love. You made him ruler over all creation, put everything under his feet, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the little lambs that bleat, the fish of the sea, all creatures of the deep. You gave them all their birth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic your name. We praise you throughout all the earth. And then, to close, what about Psalm 23? Perhaps the best-known psalm in all the Bible. Take a look at it in your English translation of the Bible, Psalm 23. If you'll turn to it with me, and I'm sure you know it well, I guarantee some of you can quote it easily off by heart. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a magnificent psalm. Here we are with a contemporary paraphrase in rhyme. With the Lord as my shepherd, I lack nothing in life's journey. He supplies my every need from his riches up in glory. With Jesus as my Saviour, my shepherd and my friend, I will not want for anything until my journey's end. Like a sheep in a fertile meadow, I have abundant food. I'm nourished by the Scriptures, where every word is good. When I need the living water, we take a gentle stroll. His Spirit fills my empty cup, restores my thirsty soul. As my guide, he never fails to show the right paths I must take. My best interest is always in his heart. I obey for his name's sake. Even when my life is threatened in valleys dark and deep, my shepherd is beside me there, and he my life will keep. I know that Christ has conquered death, removed its deadly sting, reduced it to a shadow now, a powerless, harmless thing. My shepherd gives me strength when weak, and he himself is near. His rod and staff, they comfort me, therefore I will not fear. In the presence of my enemies, a table he prepares. His strong right hand delivers me from all their evil snares. With sacred, holy, anointing oil, my cup does overflow. His love and kindness follow me everywhere I go. All the days of my life on earth, no evil shall us sever, and I will dwell in the Shepherd's house forever and forever. Let me close with Psalm 46, and I trust that this will be an encouragement and a blessing to you. A paraphrase of Psalm 46. God is our never-failing refuge and strength. An instant help in trouble is He. Though the earth gives way, I shall not fear. Though the mountains disappear into the sea, the floods may rise with a deafening roar, and the earthquake level the hills, but nothing can shake the holy place where God the Most High dwells. I know a river whose streams bring joy to the holy city there. God resides within that city, and His children have nothing to fear. The nations may be in an uproar, kingdoms rise and fall. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob protects us all. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has wrought. God can make all wars to cease, every battle that ever was fought. To the ends of the earth He breaks the bow, stacks the spears in a funeral pyre, destroys the armaments of the enemy's forces, consumes them all with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God, exalted in all the earth." "Yes, the Lord Almighty is with us," we answer, "a fortress of priceless worth." Let's bow together in prayer. Our God and Father, today we want to thank You and praise You that through Your sovereign Holy Spirit's inspiration and blessing, we have in the middle of our Bible a Psalter, a salty Psalter, Psalms full of powerful teaching, Psalms that are so full of human emotion and experience, Psalms that teach us and compel us to worship and show us how. Thank You, Father God, for the book of Psalms, and I pray that our meditation in the Psalms today will inspire each one of us to every day perhaps read a psalm, meditate in it, and rejoice in the truths that we find there. Thank You, Father, that Your word still speaks to us today, and I pray that we will every day open our hearts to the word and to the voice of the Holy Spirit who speaks to us through the Word in Holy Scripture. And we thank You, dear Father, that the entrance of Your Word gives light. Your Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Thank You for Your inspired Word that is able to give us everything we need to be all that You want us to be. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the comfort and communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all evermore. Amen.